Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. A man who has served with great distinction for decades in that war, including on some of the battlefronts that are least understood and the dangers associated with them least attended to, is our first guest. He is Dr. Peter Vincent Pry. He has served in numerous capacities at the Central Intelligence Agency for the better part of two decades as an analyst there, as a professional staff member for the House Armed Services Committee, as a senior member of the Congressional EMP Threat Commission. And we are delighted to catch up with him. As always, though regrettably, it is on the occasion of the passing of that important commission. Peter Pry, thank you so much for joining us. It's good to have you back.
Always a pleasure, Frank. Thank you.
I wanted to talk to you about the commission in a moment, but first, to get your sense, Peter, of what seemed to be ongoing and perhaps intensifying threats to use this so-called electromagnetic pulse attack scenario to destroy the electric grid emanating from Pyongyang, North Korea. What is the latest on that front, Peter, and how serious a threat do you think this poses?
Well, it's a clear and present danger for sure. The EMP Commission has been warning about it for years, and we have been right, while much of the U.S. government has been wrong. And this was proven as recently as September 2nd, when North Korea successfully tested a hydrogen bomb, which they described as also being capable at a setting for super powerful EMP attack. Even if it was not designed as a super EMP weapon, the weapon itself, which had a yield, now the yield keeps going up as they change the rest of it. It's now 250 kilotons. Just a normal hydrogen bomb of 250 kilotons could destroy the whole electric grid in all of North America. But with a super EMP setting, it would be even worse. And 2 days after the successful hydrogen bomb test, the North Koreans released a technical report titled The EMP Might of Nuclear Weapons, which accurately describes a super EMP weapon. Now, the latest, just this week, one of the other things the commission has been warning about is that the North Korean war plan, as Russia and China, their version of cyber warfare, includes EMP attack combined with cyber operations. So we now find that the North Koreans have been trying to use cyber operations to penetrate U.S. power grids, which is perfectly consistent with the doctrine we've been talking about, where they combine cyber attacks with nuclear EMP attack to basically bring down the grid. And as Congressman Weldon wrote in an article on The Hill, only Washington bureaucrats could be so stupid that they would discontinue the EMP commission in the very month that North Korea has tested a hydrogen bomb and made EMP attacks against the United States.
Or made threats thereof. Peter Pry, let me ask you about what we've learned that really has given vivid affirmation to the warnings of the EMP Threat Commission in Puerto Rico in the aftermath of most recently Hurricane Maria. Talk, if you would, quickly, Peter, about what a grid down situation is like in 21st century America.
By coincidence, Frank, I was just writing an article about how the situation in Puerto Rico is like an EMP attack. Here you've got a situation where the grid has been out just for days, for a couple of weeks, and the critical, life-sustaining critical infrastructures are in paralysis, and there's no food, no water. The communications and transportation systems are so severely compromised that even with all the massive efforts of the United States government to help, they're having difficulty getting help where it's needed. And it's even hard to know where the help is required. And this is an island, which is, you know, because it's an island and not that big an island, it would be a lot easier to to get help into Puerto Rico than it would into the continental United States if we were to have lost our grid, you know, which is why I'm sure the average Puerto Rican has no problem, who's living amidst this catastrophe every day, has no problem imagining that if their circumstance were to continue for a year, that most of the population of the island would probably be dead from starvation, disease, and societal collapse.
Unless, of course, there was a considerable intervention by outside powers, and notably in this case the United States, but who would come to our rescue in a similar grid down situation on the continental United States?
Right, which is happening in Puerto Rico. So fortunately, mass starvation will be avoided, and with God's help, a pandemic avoided. But I'll tell you, Frank, I would like to send the editorial board of Popular Mechanics and their authors down to Puerto Rico to help out for a while, because they keep publishing articles mocking former CIA Director Jim Woolsey for citing that figure from the CIA, that up to 9 of 10 Americans could die from in the aftermath of an EMP attack. Puerto Rico is an object lesson in exactly how that could happen. If those circumstances, if there were no ability to rescue, and these circumstances continued for a year, it's obvious what would happen. You know, you don't have to be a nuclear scientist to figure out that Puerto Rico desperately needs to be rescued, and those people would die if the U.S. government weren't there to save them.
Yeah. Dr. Peter Pry, we're talking at a moment when the Secretary of Energy is testifying before the Congress. This program airs, it will have happened. He is presumably going to be speaking about and challenged over recommendations that he has made now, in fact, directives that he has made to have coal-fired power plants and other power-generating facilities increase their reserves of feedstock so as to enhance the resiliency of the grid. Would you ascribe great importance to this initiative? And if so, I'm told that two of the three serving members of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission have kind of dissed the whole idea, one of them actually tweeting that they would rather quit than implement it. What is up with that, Peter?
I wholeheartedly endorse what Secretary Perry is doing. In the 2008 EMP Commission report, he's stockpiling reserves of fuel to run electrical generating plants is among the EMP Commission recommendations in terms of it being exactly what we should be doing to try to fortify our country against an EMP or cyber attack or other or natural threats that could result in a grid down situation. And all I can say about the FERC, it's par for the course. It's as if the FERC members have had an unerring ability to do exactly what North Korea, Russia, China, and Iran want the United States to do. Their policies always seem to favor a posture of unpreparedness and nakedness to the threat of our enemies.
It's shocking. That's exactly the opposite of their responsibilities, the last time I checked, right?
Yes, exactly, exactly. But I think what political scientists call it is we've got a situation of regulatory capture, where the industry that they're supposed to oversee has captured control of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and at least of those two commissioners who clearly don't want to do the right thing. Now, we've got a few new commissioners on board, including a Mr. Powelson, who used to be on the staff of Congressman Curt Weldon, you know, one of the champions of EMP protection. Dr. Graham and I had an opportunity to meet with him not long ago, and he might be a different breed. So there's at least hope from coming from one possible commissioner, new commissioner, on the FERC. But one man isn't enough, and he's not the chairman. This is a very discouraging, but par for the course in terms of the behavior of the FERC. Ultimately, what I think has to happen, Frank, is, you know, what the commission has recommends is we need different institutional relationships. FERC and NERC just can't be trusted to protect the electric grid. You know, this responsibility has to go elsewhere.
Yeah, the North American Electric Reliability Corporation being essentially a trade association, which largely sets the standards, which the FERC has typically, as you say, in a regulatory capture mode, ratified by rubber stamp. Peter Pry, we have to leave it at that, I'm sorry to say. There's so much more to discuss. I'm very anxious to hear about the final reports that the EMP Commission, on which you have served so ably for so long, is now preparing, finalizing, submitting. These are critical resources, as Congressman Kurt Weldon noted, more needed now than ever. Thank you for your service to our country in the past and that is ongoing. I know you'll stay in touch with us, and we'll look forward to talking with you again very soon. Next up, Peter Husey joins us. We'll get a sense of how we're doing with respect to deterring the sorts of attacks that Peter Price just discussed. That and much more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.